Thanks so much for joining us for our online worship service. We're in the middle of a sermon series we've titled, Why I Love My Church, where we're looking at some of the different metaphors used in the New Testament for the church. Now, today we're going to look at this metaphor of the church as God's house. Now, if you ask a random person to describe a church, many people would start to talk about a building, whether that's an ornate cathedral or a big pole barn like we have here at the Vineyard. But when the New Testament describes what a church is, and particularly a church as God's house, it takes that idea in a very different direction. I want you to look at these examples from actually three different New Testament writers. Apostle Paul writes this in Ephesians 2. Together we are God's house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We're carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. The Apostle Paul outlines this further in his first letter. He says, you are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. And what's more, you are his holy priests. Through the mediation of Christ Jesus, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. And then we read this in Hebrews 3. Every house has its builder. And the one who has built everything is God. Moses was certainly faithful in God's house as a servant. His work was an illustration of the truths that God would reveal later. But Christ, as the Son, he is in charge of God's entire house. And we are God's house if we keep our courage and remain confident in our hope in Christ. So much in the scriptures about this. And as this last passage points to, God had some original houses. First, the tabernacle in the desert, and then eventually the temple in Jerusalem. The Old Testament goes into great detail to describe the materials and even the steps that it took to construct these original houses of God. They were massive projects, and we can't actually overemphasize how important these buildings were. Think about this. In the book of Exodus, we read how there was a cloud by day and a fire by night that hovered over the tabernacle. And so when the cloud moved, so did the people. When Solomon dedicated the first temple in Jerusalem, God's power and his presence was so thick that the priests couldn't stay standing. They buckled at the weight of God's glory. During the reign of King Herod, the temple in Jerusalem was remodeled and extended to the expanse that in Jesus' day, it actually could hold tens of thousands of people within its outer walls. And central to both the tabernacle and the temple was this sacrificial system. Every day and in every season, sacrifices of animals and grain, oil and wine were offered on behalf of the people and their sins. But as the book of Hebrews describes, even in all that significance, these earlier structures were ultimately pointing to what God would reveal later through Christ. God had something even greater in mind than a fancy building or two. The new house that God wanted was a family made of people. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, we see this radical shift. Previously, God said, "This is my house." And now he says, "You are my house." Before he said, "This building is my temple." But now he says, you and I are the temples of God. And the construction of God's new house looks like this. The apostles and the prophets are the foundation. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. But the main building material is us. Ephesians says that we are joined together. Peter goes on to say he's calling us living stones that God is building into a spiritual temple. And I want you to catch how dramatic the shift is. The temple, the very centerpiece of Jewish life and culture, it was not sufficient to be God's dream home. He wanted something even greater. He wanted us, his church. And so God's house isn't a building. Friends, we are God's house. We are God's house. It's people, and it's in our relating to God and with one another, in our friendships, our relationships with each other. That is how we grow into all that God has called us to be. So along those lines, in today's message, we're going to unpack three big items about what it means that we are God's house. And here's the first. We are God's dwelling place. We are God's dwelling place. I've got several friends that are in the midst of a home buying process right now. That's pretty exciting for them, but it's also a bit frustrating because the housing market right now in Duluth is pretty insane. It's common for properties to receive numerous offers above the asking price. And so it can be a really tiring process and a lot of work, you know, looking at houses, putting together a bid, and then waiting to see what the seller's going to do, only to have someone else often get chosen as the buyer. And not only having that happen once, but some of my friends having that happen with multiple houses multiple times. Now, why are my friends willing to go through all that trouble, wade through all of those challenges? Here's why. They want to find a house to make into a home. They don't want to just simply own real estate. They want a place to live. They want to dwell there. With that story in mind, I want you to listen again to Ephesians 2:22, this time from the New International Version translation. It says, you are being built together to become a dwelling, in which God lives by his Spirit. Paul writes, you are being built together. Now, that's in the plural. Like just like one person can't make a baseball team all by themselves, we can't be joined by ourselves. It is us together. It's by design that we need each other and that we get to be built together in authentic relationships. And as we are joined with one another, the goal is to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Get this. When God went looking for a forever home, he chose you and me. God's forever home is us. You know, and he doesn't want to just visit. He wants to move in. He wants to take up residence in our lives. This is one of the other big shifts that we see from the Old Testament to the New Testament. In the Old Testament, God's presence was mostly limited to the physical tabernacle and the temple. And the Holy Spirit primarily came upon particular people at particular times for particular purposes. But now through Christ, we can all experience the Holy Spirit at any time. And our lives can actually become these ongoing habitations for the Spirit's presence. I remember in my own life back in college when church started to shift from a place that I went to into an experience that I entered into. And I remember starting then and all the way up until now, like the power of what that did for me. You know, the power of experiencing God's presence in those times, I'm flooded with hope and joy and peace. You know, I find this strength to love others with a love that comes outside of me. That's all because of the Holy Spirit and his presence. It's one of the things I love so much about our church, the Duluth Vineyard. We continually emphasize how the Holy Spirit is available to every one of us. And we practically train people to recognize and receive the Spirit's presence in their lives. We get to do this together. You know, even over the last month, man, we've just been so encouraging to see a recognized uptick in just the Holy Spirit's activity in our gatherings, whether that's online or in small groups or in our in-person services, and people responding to God's presence and the Holy Spirit's work in them. Again, it's been super encouraging. Now, I said this a couple weeks ago, and I want to say this again. Right now, right where you are, you can experience the Holy Spirit's presence, whether that's for the first time or for the first time in a long time. That is God's goal. He wants to make our lives a place where he dwells. He wants to come in. He wants our lives to become a place where he dwells by his Spirit. And God doesn't force himself upon us. He doesn't demand the keys of our lives. No, it's like the book of Revelation talks about, like he knocks on the door. God knocks on the door of our lives, and he gives us the choice if we will welcome him in. Man, it is really good when we make that choice. And before we're done today, we're just going to take a little bit of time to just open up to what the Holy Spirit might have for us in this moment. Okay, here's the second big item for today. We see that we are God's holy priests. We're God's holy priests. Look again at 1 Peter 2, verse 5. He writes, "You are his holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God." Once again, let's explore this just bit by bit in this verse. Peter says that we are holy. Previously, our sin kept us separated from God's holiness, but now through Christ, we have open access to actually share in God's holiness. The old barriers between us and God have been moved out of the way. They're gone because of Jesus' death on the cross. Secondly, Peter says that we are priests, that we minister to God and to people. In the Old Testament, a select group of priests mediated this connection between God and people through a series of sacrifices. But now through the mediation of Jesus' blood on the cross, we can all relate directly to God. We don't need another go-between. And every Christian is called a priest in God's kingdom. And third, we're holy priests that offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. You know, friends, you don't have to appease God. You don't have to try really hard to get God to like you. You know, all of that has been done for you in Jesus. You know, there's no need to make all these other blood sacrifices, go through all of these hoops that you've got to jump through. Instead, we can offer a different kind of sacrifice that God openly receives. What does that look like? Listen to this from Hebrews 13. It says, "Through Jesus, let us offer a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. And don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God." When I read those words from Hebrews 13, I think of two large banners that we have up in our auditorium here at the Vineyard. One of the banners says worship, and the other banner says compassion. John Wimber, the founding pastor and founding leader of our group of churches, The Vineyard, would often say that these are the two legs that we stand on, worship and compassion. We're worshipers of God and we're rescuers of people. We give our wholehearted devotion to God in worship and we extend tangible compassion to others. These are the sacrifices that please God. Let's consider some specific application tied to these verses in Hebrews 13. It says that we need to offer a continual sacrifice of praise. That means that we worship God when things are going great, and we worship God even when we don't feel like it. It says that we're to proclaim allegiance to Jesus. Jesus gets the first say, and he gets the final say in our lives. We get to let go of any attachments that get in the way of Jesus being right at the center, whether those are habits, it could even be addictions that get in the way. Maybe it's a relationship. It even could be a cause or an affiliation that starts to crowd in to become the center of our lives. Friends, all those other things, it's like trying to put a round peg in a square hole. Jesus is the only one that fits at the center. And then finally, in Hebrews 13, it says, "Do good and share with those in need." You know, we do this all year round here at the Vineyard, expressing compassion. But March is a month when we give some special emphasis to this. You know, and so there's a number of ways, even this month, that you can take a step towards extending compassion as one of these pleasing sacrifices. One of the things that we found so helpful is that we've got one of the largest food shelves in the Northland. And through our food shelf, you could volunteer at one of our regular times of food distribution on Tuesday nights or Saturday mornings, not only meeting practical needs for folks that are experiencing food insecurity, but also just sharing the love of Jesus through a smile or maybe through a prayer. You could deliver groceries to someone's house through the food shelf. We're actually the only one that's doing this in our city, and it's been blessing a number of families. Or we also have a whole team of people that work with prison ministry, where you extend God's love to brothers and sisters in Christ that are in prison by sending them transcripts of the messages that we do here on the weekends at the Vineyard. Those are just a couple, just a few of the expressions of compassion that we have going on a regular basis. But man, there are just so many other options, endless ways to express compassion, even beyond the food shelf. You know, maybe you think about things that you've got around your house, in your life. Maybe it could be an extra vehicle, a spare room. You know, there's talk of like extra stimulus money coming along. You know, you may not actually need that in your life, and there might be somebody else that God would lay on your heart to be able to forward that to, that would be a huge blessing to. Again, so many different expressions. What we want to go at are these sacrifices of worship and compassion. We are God's holy priests that offer pleasing sacrifices of worship and compassion. Okay, one last aspect of being God's house to touch on. Later in 1 Peter, we hear this, that we are God's representatives. 1 Peter 2:9 says this, "You are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. And as a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness, out of the darkness and into his wonderful light." Peter says that because God has chosen us and that God has rescued us out of darkness and into light, that we get to show his goodness to others. We don't keep it to ourselves. We get to give it away so others can experience God's goodness as well. And there's so many different ways that we can be representatives of God's goodness. Another word that the New Testament uses for representative is ambassador. You know, think about in government. An ambassador is someone that communicates a message, not their own message. They're actually communicating the message that's been given to them by his or her higher authority. It's the same thing for us. God has already provided the message. We have this amazing good news of God's love, of the rescue that's been made available through Jesus' death and his resurrection, and this brand new life that we can step into as we put our hope in Christ. You know, I mentioned a couple weeks ago about the Alpha course that we have coming up. Alpha is a 10-week introduction to the Christian faith where you can explore who is Jesus, what does that mean for our life, ask any question that you have, you can say anything that you want. And so maybe for you, maybe Alpha is for you to explore, but also Alpha may be for somebody that you know. You know, maybe there's people that you've been having a longing to introduce to Jesus, and that this is a way that you can take a step to be God's representative. We've got in-person and online Alpha courses starting in just over a week. Or maybe think about this idea more broadly. Have you ever been around somebody that has a strong gift of hospitality? You know, when you step into their home, if you go to visit them, you just immediately feel like you can relax. You can let your guard down. You can be yourself in that space. Now, what if the people around us, people around you and me, could experience that through us? Where we're so overwhelmingly overflowing with God's goodness that others can just relax into his love. I think it's interesting how the word hospitable and hospital have the same root, that there's like a healing that can come as we extend genuine relationship to others. And this is actually something that Michael's going to dig into a little bit more a little later in our series. As I think about being God's representative, this is one of my regular prayers. I want my life to be so saturated with God's goodness that it's inevitable that just a little bit of that just continually spills over into every person that I interact with. And friends, here's what I want for our church. As 2021 unfolds, I believe that we're going to have increasing opportunities to extend the love and the goodness of God to others. You know, after an extended period of isolation and even dislocation, there's like this stored up longing in people to re-engage in meaningful personal relationships. And I think we're going to be ready to offer that as God's representatives. Friends, we can do this. With Jesus as the cornerstone, with Jesus at the center, God can fit us together. God can unite us as living stones being built up into this spiritual house where he dwells. Just a moment. We're going to transition in our online service into some more worship. And then also, if you're watching our live stream, you can have the opportunity to receive prayer from one of our team members. As we get ready to do that, here's a couple things that come to my mind. You know, earlier in the message, we talked today about opening the door to the Holy Spirit's presence. Now, that may sound like an amazing idea, but for a number of us, there's actually a barrier that we need to push through, and that barrier is shame. You know, just so like sometimes we have with our physical living spaces, our houses or our apartments, like we can be embarrassed or we'd be a little hesitant to have somebody to come into our space because they're like, oh, like it's a little messy or it's not quite the way that I would want it. We can have the same thing as we think about welcoming God into our lives. We're like, oh, I got to get this a little bit more cleaned up or a little bit more together before I open up to that. But friends, like Jesus purchased your life in as-is condition. Exactly as you are, he loves you and he wants to come in. The Holy Spirit wants to come up and take residence in your life and start to just sort through exactly what's there, no matter what it is right now. Secondly, a number of you have a deep desire to share God's goodness with others, whether that's through talking with a friend about Jesus, inviting them to something like Alpha, or extending hospitality or compassion to others. Now, you could try and do that in your own strength, but it goes so much better when we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. So along those lines, let's just say a simple prayer right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we open the door to your presence in our lives. We believe that you see us as we are. God, you love us, and you're willing to come right in and to change us from the inside out. We welcome you. We welcome all that you bring. Come, Holy Spirit. God, we ask for your power to come. Lord, we can't be your representatives just on our own. We need you so desperately. So God, as we think about these acts of compassion, hospitality, and sharing with others, would you put your Holy Spirit on us and empower us in ways that go beyond what we could ever ask or imagine? We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.